It's another episode of Working Class on DeerCast. Don't even really know what number episode this one is, but Eric's in here co-hosting with me today.
I'm here.
And then Josh Sparks is here co-hosting and having a cold beverage. And the guest of the hour, Mr. Lee Herr. Thanks for joining us, man.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Made it out to the studio. We've been talking about this one for a while now. We've been trying to get Josh out here since we went out and filmed all those podcasts at Mark's Place last year season, really, at this point.
Yeah.
Seems like a couple months ago, but it's been...
Seems like a lot longer than that.
A lot longer. But we're here in the Working Class Bowhunter studio with a giant buck on the studio table. And Lee, you have a story to tell, apparently.
Yeah, it's a story, all right. So, started all back in 2019.
Who are you?
Oh, sorry.
You'll let the guy introduce himself or what?
I'm Lee Herr. I'm live in Central Iowa. Good buddies with Josh. Been buddies since, when we were younger.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a feed salesman, is full time. I do real estate on the side.
Very cool.
A hunting nut, man.
Yeah, so you're involved in the hunting community, the ag industry, as a lot of guys are here in the Midwest. It's kind of how you become more involved in the farming, outdoor, ag lifestyle, is have that type of career path. So
yeah,
you're in the biz for deer and people that have property with deer on it.
Correct.
Especially being a seed dealer, you can get your... the farm ground, never know where you'd sneak in on a place to hunt.
Hey. Yeah. And actually, I don't do that a whole lot just because sometimes.
Hey, sure you don't.
Yeah. Sure I don't. Yeah.
Hey, a lot.
Okay. Lot.
Yeah. Hey, this one's being videoed, but.
Only takes one, right?
Yeah. Right.
That's right.
Right. The right one.
Yeah. Found the right one.
Yep. I did find the right one.
Well, cool. So you're from the Midwest. You grow up in Iowa?
Yeah. I grew up in the Amana Colonies, which is, basically, if you drew a line between Iowa City and Cedar Rapids, it's 15 miles mm-hmm. west.
Yeah, that's where the little... I bought pickled quail eggs from there. It's like a touristy little area.
Yep.
There. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, familiar. Very familiar. Don't give away your spots too close, but...
Well, that's not where these deer came from.
Okay. Yeah, New Hampshire.
Yeah, New Hampshire, Vermont, uh-huh. over that way.
New Hampshire, Iowa.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, cool. I just want to get a quick introduction. I mean, we have a story about a big buck here. Are you an active DeerCast user?
Yeah, I use it to the max. I've used it since it was the year it came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's one of the best tools out there for a deer hunter.
Really?
I'm not saying that it's perfect for everywhere. Like my deer herds, I don't think, to me, it doesn't predict, and it does predict movement, but it does not predict like your whole herd movement. Mm-hmm. Where I hunt is not crazy pressured. So my doe herd moves pretty much regularly.
Always?
I mean, almost every day. I mean, there are, I typically see 20 to 30 does a sit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, the bad days are 15 to 20, and the good days are 30 plus.
Yeah. Right? High deer density. So they're moving no matter what.
Yeah.
Do you think, because you're such an active DeerCast user, you're a believer in it, apparently, because you're here and you have a big buck and we're talking about it. But I just want to cover this first, like the misconceptions online. I'm sure you see a lot of people like, well, I saw a deer moving and it said it was going to be bad, or it said good and I didn't see a deer moving. Like, what do you think when you see that type of thing?
To me, I'm an elite user. I've got DeerCast Custom, I've got DeerCast Track and all that stuff. So for me, it predicts my mature buck movement. That's mm-hmm. how I utilize it. The goods and greats.
You're not looking at it for yearlings.
Right. Quite frankly, I don't really care if a year and a half old spike's going to move or whatever. I'm in it to shoot a mature 6.5-year-old deer if I can.
Which is probably what most people are after.
Right.
Right.
Generally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for me, it's the mature buck movement. Like this spot where I killed this deer, it's dicey to get into. And I only hunted 5 times with bow and a few times with the muzzleloader because it was good condition days. Mm-hmm. And it was... DeerCast City, they're good or great. And I had the right wind direction. I did not risk it with this spot because it's only 21 acres where I killed this deer. So,
oh, really? So you only have you screw up. It's more impactful versus someone with 100 acres
it
is.
And it's basically the property's a big field with a creek line that runs through it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you screw up, you're busting deer. pretty easily. And in and out's tough. So it was pretty much the days I went, it was swing for the fences kind of days.
Yeah, yeah. You were expecting to kill when you went.
Yeah. Yep.
I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to get that out of the way. I know we talked a little bit. You're like, you were a big believer in deer cast. I didn't know, you know, people apply it a little bit. I think a lot of people look over the custom feature, and a lot of people look past a lot of like the deer cast track and some of the other features that are involved in and the Dre Outdoors library and our great, amazing podcast that's on there. I mean, if you're listening to audio only, get in deer cast and support us there. Support the platform. It's a platform of hunters.
That's
like
right.
Everybody just complains about social media not being for our people and being anti-Second Amendment and all that. There's a platform. You just have to go there and be involved.
Yep.
Yeah. Don't complain about it. We talked about this with the trade shows. Don't complain about not having a show in your area. And then when a show in your area happens, you don't go and support it. Don't be mad when it goes away. Go there and support hunters on our own platform.
Yep, absolutely. And you mentioned DeerCast track there. To me, that makes, I mean, I use the Elite for a lot of other reasons. The 10-day, so I can, you know, plan out and see, because I've got two kids and, you know, I got to use my time wisely.
And two jobs.
And two jobs, yeah. Yeah. So I got to keep the wife happy. So
yeah.
I got to
keep her happy
when I
too.
Go.
Yeah.
But the Elite version, DeerCast track makes it worth it.
You know, I think so.
I've had so many buddies that, you know, they know I have it. So they marginally hit a deer and they say, this is about where I hit them. What's DeerCast track say? And I'm like, it's
get your own subscription.
Yes. I say, get your own subscription.
It's when's the last time you bought a case of beer? Oh, yesterday?
Yeah, exactly.
It's the same price as a case of beer.
It's $20 and it's right. Well worth it. You know, my bow buck, which we'll talk about, we're not talking about on this podcast, but we'll talk about on the regular WCV one. I made a marginal hit on him. So I used DeerCast track and Josh, and you know, we talked about where I hit him, looked at all the videos and helped me, I guess, make the right decision there with that deer. But
a lot of benefits.
Have to go over to the other podcast here.
Yeah,
one.
I like that cross promo you did. Good
I got
work,
you.
Lee.
I got you.
So let's talk about this massive buck in here, because this thing is
a beast.
I mean, there's nothing that's not impressive about him. It's a dream deer for anybody, no matter where you live. Even if you've already killed one close to that size, you still want one like that. I mean, kind of break it down, man. Where does it start? Because this thing's got everything. And whenever you want to break down the deer physically, we'll do that. But I think just like give us the beginning of the journey of this deer wherever you see fits for the podcast.
Yeah. So it's history for me is pretty short, really. But one of my.
Which is okay.
Yeah.
That's fine.
That's sometimes better.
Correct. Yeah. One of my best friends is Brandon Doms, and he hunts about 4 miles as a crow flies from where I hunt. And he had pictures of this deer starting in 2019 when we thought he was a 5-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And him and I are, you know, we share trail cameras and all that kind of stuff. We're that kind of buddy. You
yeah.
Know?
Yep. Good buddies to have.
Yeah. Good buddies to have.
Especially hunting fairly
yeah,
close.
Fairly
yeah.
Close. Yep. You know, and I drive the loop all the time with my kids and glass for deer in the summer, just like every other hunter does, you know? And saw it a couple times. He had trail camera pictures of it in 2019. And it was around him for most of the year. And then 2020, he had pictures of it again. And the derecho hit, Iowa, knocking a bunch of trees
down. The famous Midland. What, that's basically a hurricane
tsunami,
that's just in the
hurricane.
Middle of the country.
Yeah, it's a hurricane that's on ground.
Yeah.
And it knocked a lot. The deer over by him did not live in a very big area. And it messed up his bedroom. I mean, it took a bunch of trees down in there. And we think, because normally the deer would stick around for him most of the year, maybe would leave, you know, a little bit after shotgun season. But that year he left, like was not around. And that was the year the shed was 2020. And there is I sold a property and one of the properties next to it, you know, looked pretty good. It was an alfalfa field. So I wanted to ask, and I find a lot of sheds in and around alfalfa fields. Mm-hmm. I think it's an underutilized food source for deer, really.
Oh yeah.
So I asked the farm owner, you know, I was like, hey, you care if I go shed hunt, you know, go look. And he's a hunter, I suppose. He basically just gun hunts with his kids. Mm-hmm. He's a huge farmer. He farms 6,000 acres, so doesn't have time for bow hunting.
Yeah. Just something, it's like an afterthought for him, kind of.
Yeah. It's
when
their off season.
All done.
And basically it's to eliminate some deer for crop damage.
Yeah.
That's why he does it, you know?
Yeah.
but so I asked him if I could go shed hunt. And he was like, yeah, let's go for it. You know, I don't really care. So I walked out there, and obviously I knew of this deer from my buddy Brandon, mm-hmm. and I'm walking the edge of this field, and I look over, and it's in a pile of grass, and couldn't tell what it was, and I pulled it out, and I was like, whoa.
Let me see that thing.
You know, when I pulled it out, I find a lot of
what
sheds.
What part did you see first?
So basically the beam, it was like tucked up in like this,
mm-hmm.
so I could see the backside of the beam.
Like that?
No, it was tines down, but like in a grass bunch. Here, let me show you.
Give me a visual.
It was sitting like this.
Oh, no kidding.
Like this was tucked in the grass, and I could see this.
So you just see... Oh, really?
I could pretty much just see this, and I pull it out, and instantly I'm like... I find quite a few sheds every year, and I was like, wow, that's a whopper, you know? That's the biggest shed I've ever found, typical shed I've ever found.
Yeah.
It was just shy of 83 inches, missing a brow. And initially, it did not even click with me that it was that deer.
Yeah.
You know, once I was sitting there in the initial shock... wore off, I suppose.
Yeah.
I was like, holy crap. We call him junk brow. Cause, when he was in 2019, when we thought he was five, he had three brows on each side.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, holy crap, that is junk brow. And I called Brandon right away. I'm like, dude, I just found a shed. Cause he disappeared from him. Didn't know where he went.
And that's when you guys' relationship fell apart.
No,
oh, okay.
No, that is big deer. Big deer has a tendency to do that to friendships.
It does. I own that deer. He's mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Brandon is not that way. I mean, and I'm not either. You don't own deer,
no.
man. You can hunt them all you want, and they can go wherever they want. Like that deer, he traveled 4 miles. So that's kind of where the story started for me.
And that was 2019?
This was 2020.
2020.
Yep.
You first knew about him 2019.
Yep. Okay. And I actually hunted over kind of by where Brandon is, because there's a little chunk of public ground. It's only like 160 acres. And just for fun, I threw a camera
trying
out
to
there.
Get on Brandon's line there.
No, see what it wasn't
trying
that
to
close.
Get on this deer.
I'm stirring up your guys' relationship by the end of this podcast.
It's about 3/4 of a mile from where Brandon is. And sorry.
It's all good.
Dad doesn't drink very much anymore.
Yeah.
just getting back into it. Huh?
Yeah. No. So I put a camera up on that public just because I was like, I was newer to the area. I moved in there in 2018. Not a lot of permission around there, and it's really open ag grounds. So there's not much good hunting really.
Right.
So I put a camera on there and I went to check it one day in July, and there was a mega giant, bigger than this deer. And, you know, not junk brow, but another giant. And he hadn't had any pictures of it yet. And we shared the pictures. He ended up having pictures of it later in the year, but,
mm-hmm.
I actually called that deer Cupcake. My stepdaughter was like, I always have her name my deer.
Yeah.
And she was like, let's call him Cupcake. I'm like,
okay, that
sounds good.
It's kind of awesome actually.
Yeah. He was like I would have said he was like 215.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I hit a genetic pocket moving in there, I think. But anyways, so I hunted there a little bit, never saw him, never saw Cupcake. 2020 rolls around. I find the shed. Yeah. And, so then I asked the farmer, it took me forever to catch him. Cause I was like, I got to ask to hunt here. You know, this deer's huge.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. So I finally catch him like, oh, I don't know what it is. End of July. And I'm like, hey, I know you don't bow hunt at all. You care if I bow hunt? He's like, no, that's fine. Go ahead. You know, shoot some does if you can. But the county that I live in, the doe tags are really limited.
There's a lot of counties like that in Iowa.
Yeah,
the county I live in, there's only 200.
Yeah, I don't know what there is in the county I live in, but it's slim. You know, it's one of those you have to buy it the first day.
Oh yeah,
you know, you gotta
we
be
usually have
midnight.
To get on at yeah. midnight. Yep.
Yep. So I was like, well, I don't really have any doe tags, but he's like, yeah, that's fine. Go ahead and hunt. And I said, cool. You know, and he owns a lot of ground, but I didn't want to push it. I was like, you know, I'll just hunt this 21 acres, you know.
Yeah.
It's small, you know. He gun hunts there, but I said, I won't hunt during early muzzleloader, and I won't hunt after shotgun season because then you're the late muzzleloader.
Be respectful and
stuff.
Right. Yeah.
Yep. Put some cameras up all summer long, and it's like not a buck all summer. And I'm like, man, I just can't believe this. It butts up to a pretty low pressured area. It's a pretty good funnel, and just no bucks all summer long. And I'm like, I don't get it. But then like not too long after Velvet Shed, you know, the Velvet Scramble,
everybody's splitting.
Yeah.
Yep. My first camera check, it was like, I don't know, the 10th or 12th of October or something that I pulled the cameras, after the end of September after season. And it was like, holy smokes, you know, here came the bucks. I had a bunch of different bucks on camera. None of him, you know, two or three other really good deer.
I think it's important to note what you went in after you got the property. What was your, you know, standard? You know what I mean? Because, like, when you did that first camera pull, you didn't really care. You know what I mean? You were
like, first in. 130.
Well, right. I just think that it, you know, your entire season was dedicated.
Oh, absolutely. To him. To Junk, you know, Brow, because I found the shed there. It was like,
oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
And you're only getting pictures of does. So it's like, okay, where to go now?
Yeah. And, you know, that's a conversation I had with Josh.
It was like, things are obviously going to change. Yeah. If you look at that pattern, you found the shed there. Like,
he's coming at some point. Yeah. My mindset.
Right.
And I had conversations with Josh and my dad. And my dad is like, wait for him. You know, that's a once in a lifetime deer. You know, don't shoot anything but him.
Yeah.
Even if you eat tag soup, that's your buck this year. And I had talked with Josh, and Josh was like, he's not coming. There's no way. No. Well,
and that conversation took place after these original card pulls. You know, we started getting into September, and what he was alluding to was like, there was multiple mature bucks. You're talking 21 acres, right? 4-5 in the 4-6 range.
Yeah, I would say, well, there were 3 bucks harvested on it. I mean, he was one of them. So 2 mature bucks, another really old one, and some 3- and 4-year-olds. So there was a lot of deer once the bucks started showing up.
Right.
And I think the other thing you need to note is where you found the shed is the best thermal cover right next to it anyway on that property that you couldn't hunt the, you know, what's the lack of a better term?
The low pressured area.
Yeah. Well, nobody hunts the farm, basically.
Yep. Nobody hunts the farm. They drive ATVs on it and that kind of stuff. But.
Right.
And so what our conversation was, he's like, I'm going to hold out for him. And I was like, the deer you got on camera, you better not pass them, though. You know what I mean? Because they're giants. And the way that he found the shed, I was like, this deer's going to move in late season, man. If he's not here yet, you know what I mean? You're talking, if he's here, it might be a rut type of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that's when you had set, like, the hard deadline, per se.
Yeah, so that leads into what I was going to say next is, you know, after talking to Josh and talking to my dad, I said, if he's not here by November 10th, I'm going to shoot another deer. I'm not shooting any deer but him at that point. That was my hard deadline where it was like, okay, that's where...
November 10th.
The flip will switch.
Still very... what's the term? I would say you're a little... I mean, I get it. I get the call.
Yep.
But you're being fairly... flexible there with the November 10th. Like, I would have been like November 25th.
Well, my thought process was behind it is the highest doe density is where I'm at. And if he's coming in, I would have figured it would have been that October 25th range, you know, when they're kind of getting it on their mind right after the October lull, swell, that kind of thing. I figured that would be the point where he's coming to look for does. Just so he's
going to checking does.
Yeah, he's going to come to the high doe density.
I see why you made that decision. Yeah.
Well, and the other part of that we talked about was that go back to the 2019 derecho. You know, Brandon talked about how his bedroom, there was this good thermal cover, winter, you know, type of range stuff. The deer didn't disappear in 2020 until the late season. You know, and I think that's very important to note. Like, Brandon had pictures of him all the way through the rut. So I'm like, that 4-mile trek, I don't think that's when he's making it. You know?
But my hopes were up, you know.
I mean, anytime you know about a deer like this, I mean, it's motivating no matter what. Even if he's 10 miles away, you're like, there's a chance.
Yeah, and that was honestly.
Hey, you never know.
You never know.
There was plenty of conversations that were borderline heated, you know what I mean? Because like, you're asking me for my advice. I think he's going to show up late season. I mean, like, just with Brandon's information, that really helped make me think, like, okay, you found him next to the thermal cover.
Yeah.
You have 2 Boone and Crockett bucks on camera consistently.
Hey, shout out to Brandon.
Yeah. Brandon, you really...
Brandon's a guy.
You could not find a more humble, great person.
Absolutely. Get Brandon in here. We got a cold beer for him. That's what we need for Brandon.
Oh, he'd come over. He grew up like 5 miles from here.
No kidding?
Yep. I can't remember the name of the town.
We'll talk after the podcast.
Yeah.
I wonder if I know him.
We'll call him up.
He might. He's upper 30s, I think. Age-wise?
It's possible.
Yeah, maybe.
I didn't grow up in this area, like, exactly where we're at, but just, I mean, there's a chance.
Yeah.
You can know him.
But that, you know, that's one of the conversations that Josh and I had a lot. He was like, dude, you have 2 booners on camera. Like, you would be stupid to pass them if they walk by.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Thanks, Josh.
It was easy for me to say. I didn't have any.
Well, I mean, it's good. It's good. It's great advice.
Yep.
That is good advice.
It is, but it was like, I was like, Josh, he is a, you know, I never had any pictures of him. I saw him on the hoof a couple times, and I'm like, he's a whopper, you know? He's a once-in-a-lifetime deer. I got to wait, you know? And he was like, dude, that 10-pointer, which is my buck I ended up shooting with the bow, he was like, that's a 170-inch deer. another buck that I had that was called the Trashy Eight, that the neighbor ended up killing. He was 173. Oof. And it was just like, man, and they were pretty regular on camera, never daylight, but real close. Mm-hmm. Well, he actually, my bow buck daylighted a couple times, but, it was just like, I gotta wait. I have to, man. Have to.
Yeah. I don't blame you.
So that's when I set that November 10th deadline. And November 10th came, I hunted on November 10th.
Okay. So the November 10th deadline comes, you wake up November 11th.
Just wait.
Okay. Sorry. I'm getting ahead. I'm getting excited.
My bow buck, I killed November 10th.
Oh, shit. I was just about to ask, like, did any of these other bucks walk by and you passed them?
Oh, here we go. I can't remember. There we go. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah. So.
Sorry, Eric.
No, you're fine.
Yeah, it was, and we'll talk more about it on the other podcast, but November 10th, I shot my bow buck because I never saw the two shooters that I had that I was going to shoot in person.
Yeah.
And then he walked by, and actually both of them walked by that day. I was just a little bit behind on the other one.
Okay.
I remember, yeah, that was that really foggy day. You called me like, you hunting? I'm like, nope, I'm editing. What are you doing? You're like, I got about an hour, 2 hours, you know, yeah. 2 hours to go hunt. And I was like,
I'm hopping in because DeerCast had actually changed that. You know how it hourly updates?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It started off as, I don't remember what the, is okay in the middle. It started off as an okay day. And like in the matter of the next hour, it switched to great. And I was like, I got to go get in the tree. It's mm-hmm. November 10th, you know, yeah, it could happen any day.
It's yeah. my last day.
Yeah. It's my deadline.
It's my deadline day. Today's the day.
It'd be funny if DeerCast did an update where you could plug in notes like deadline day, and that's what it popped up as.
Yeah.
His alarm goes off as deadline day.
Yeah, make it or break it.
So I ended up shooting him, you know, and that was a whole story. We'll talk about that on the next one.
Yeah, it's not no 1:30. Yeah. You're like, I ended up shooting him instead.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, it's a stud.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So after that, you know, I tagged out, and I'm just sitting around. I kept my cameras out there because I told the landowner, I said, you know, I'll keep my cameras out. You know, they're just doe killers or, you know, if...
Yeah, I'll let you know.
I'm kidding. I would because we'll get into that here real quick.
One of the coolest parts of this story.
Okay.
So, anyways, I keep my cameras out, and I'm like, it was all the way through shotgun season. I had one cell cam out, and a couple stagnant cameras, or non-cell, I guess. I call them stagnant cameras.
Yeah,
So, the day, it would be the first day of late muzzleloader, which was December 20th this year, I think.
Yep, around there, sounds right.
I go pull my cameras, except for the one cell camera. Most of the deer come out and where I get most of the pictures. I go pull the camera and get back home, stick the card in, and that morning, December 20th, at like 20 minutes before daylight, he's on the camera. John Prowse on the camera, and I'm like, here we go. But I can't hunt there late muzzleloader.
Ooh.
And I'm like, oh, no. So I call Brandon, because, you know, we kept in contact with each other and all that.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, I got a picture of him. Like, he showed up this morning, and he goes, are you bleeping kidding me? I'm like, no, why? He goes, I'm headed to hunt him right now. And I'm like, sorry, dude.
Oh,
sorry,
crap.
Man. So a couple days go by. Actually, I go right back out and I put a cell cam on that tree because it's a pretty good trail and it's on the side of the creek that I found a shed on. And I get a couple pictures of him and it's like, man, I can't hunt there. I call Josh and I'm like, Josh, what do I do? Like, I don't have permission to hunt here. Like, should I go ask him if he cares if I hunt on the days he doesn't hunt or whatnot? Or yeah. I tell him about the deer?
Hey, it doesn't hurt to ask.
Yeah. And that was the moral dilemma was, do I tell him about the deer? You know, because it's like, is it worth losing my permission on this farm that I know is going to be good every year for a deer like that just to ask if I can go hunt there?
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
Or do I tell him about it and be honest and, you know, because he might tell me no anyways, but well, then he knows about the deer.
You put some thought into it, though.
Yeah. See,
the moral dilemma. I like this because, I've experienced similar moral dilemmas, and a lot of it is like, you were the guy that put in the work that did everything and found the deer and knows about the deer, and somebody else that might hunt it hunts not even a third of the time you hunt, puts not even a third of the effort in that you put into it, doesn't care regardless.
But owns the ground
or has like the access to it that maybe granted you the access to it.
Right.
And then it's like, is that going to change how they act for the minimal time they're going to put in when you have, your life is dedicated to this and you care and you're going to honor the animal and do everything possible to make sure it's ethical and clean and respectful. And, you know, you shoot this deer, you know what this deer is. You're going to respect and put on a show with this deer more than anybody else would.
Absolutely.
Whereas some guys will just chuck it in the pile in the shed and there it is.
Oh, well, that was exactly where we kind of started talking about. I'm like, listen, man, you have this full on story and you already shot a Boone and Crockett animal on this permission farm. I mean, right. Like, keep in perspective, in Iowa, like, leasing is getting harder and harder to come by.
Even getting a lease, let alone permission.
Expensive, you know. So, like, this guy knows what he has. I mean, yeah, he might be a farmer, but he's not unaware of, what kind of deer he had shot. And I was like, here's what I'd say, man. I would be completely upfront with him, and if he kills the deer, you're the nicest guy in the world. But at the end of the day, you don't have a Boone and Crockett without this guy. You don't have the shed that you do. He also might tell you, yeah, go ahead and do it. And then you can tell the full story the way that you want to tell it.
Yep. Without being weird about it.
Because it kind of would have been a little manipulative. And like when we had our conversation, I'm like, you already kind of feel guilty about telling him, hey, can I just happen to hunt? You know, it's like, yeah, hey, I just happened to kill a 200-inch plus deer.
And yeah. Didn't know anything about him.
Yeah.
And so just like long term, I was like, you know, whatever your gut tells you to do, that's what you should do. Whatever you consider right. And, you know, we can already...
Great advice.
And initially our conversation was, don't even risk it. You know, this property is going to be good for
forever,
a lot of years.
Right.
You know, don't risk going in there. You know, you already shot a Booner. Don't risk going in there and losing permission on the farm. It's not worth it.
Right. I'm sure how is it? So break down the conversation if you want to. You don't have
to. No, I will. I will. Absolutely.
So what'd you do? That's what we're asking here.
Break it down.
Yes. How'd it go?
How do I do this?
Yeah. So
what a fun conversation though, because I'm sure a lot of people listening have had something similar on permission ground, but you know, there's a lot of guys that love to hunt and that's why they got permissions, because the landowner doesn't really give that much of a shit about it.
Right.
Like he might, like you're saying, very casually doesn't care about shooting a 5-year-old deer that he's going to put all this effort into. There's probably a lot of people that, more people than I bet we think, have been in your shoes. Maybe not in this caliber of deer,
right?
But a 150, a 160, a 140 in certain areas.
Way more than we think, I bet.
I bet, I would say.
So I go to his house. He's really hard to catch because, like I said, he farms 6,000 acres, so he's all over the place all the time. I go to his house and I'm like, okay, I got to talk to you about something. I text him and I'm like, hey, are you around? I got to talk to you about something. He goes, yeah, that's fine. I'm at the house, you know, stop on over. And I knock on the door. I sit on the front stoop, wait for him to come out. He steps out. He goes, what's going on, Lee? And I said, I got to be honest with you. There's this deer that between me and one of my buddies, we've known about for a couple years. I hunted in his general area on the public ground, never saw him. And he just showed up on the 21 acres you let me hunt. Like, and I understand that our agreement was I get bow hunt, you guys gun hunt. And I said, I want to ask if you would care if I try to kill him, because it's a once in a lifetime deer between me and my buddy. We know about him. And he's like, man, cause he's got two boys. One's like 11 and one's like 15.
Yeah.
Right. And they go sit in the blind and you know,
yeah,
they just shoot whatever comes out. But
sure.
He's like, I just don't know how to make that work, you know, cause I don't know when we're going to go, you know, blah, 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 blah. And, I'm like, okay, well, I have a proposition. How about proposition?
We know what you mean.
Yeah. English is not my specialty.
Yeah. Got a proposition for you.
Yeah.
Just say it fast. Yeah. No one knows really what you said.
Exactly.
That's what I do.
I said, how about, cause shooting light's like, you know, 5:15 to 5:30 during
right,
muzzleloader
somewhere in there.
Typically. I'm like, how about I text you at 3 o'clock every day. And if by then you'll know if you're going. And if you tell me I can go, I'll sneak in there and go. Well, he's a big farmer. He had to do his year end stuff. So the first 6 days of the season, I got to hunt basically. Cause this was not the first day of the season. It was like the 25th, like right around Christmas that I asked him. And
not that many days left.
Mm-mm. No, not really. And, he said, yeah, that's fine.
How was his reaction when you're like, this big deer is here? Like, was he like, oh.
He was like, oh, cool. You know, you knew about him? And I'm like, yeah, you know, he actually lived like 4 miles from here.
Did you show him pictures?
Yep, showed him pictures. And he actually said, oh, one of my other buddies had a picture of him.
Oh, yeah, good
buddy. Yeah. A buddy that's about halfway between us, he had pictures like end of the rut.
Gotcha.
he's like, so I've seen the deer, but yeah, I mean, yeah, I just don't know how to make it work. And that's when I brought up the proposition.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, that's fine. He said, I'll know by 3 o'clock if I'm going to go or not. So that day I said,
okay, you probably jumped off that porch, didn't you?
I was, in my head, I was like, yes, yes. Yeah.
I love you.
But, so the next day I text him and it's 3 o'clock and I said, hey, are you going? He said, nope. And hunted. Yeah. And that's what it was, because it was a mad scramble.
You better have all your hunting stuff on before you text him.
I did. Every single day.
Every day. Every just day. In case.
I was ready. And actually.
Just walk around the house in it.
The place is only like 5 miles from my house.
Beautiful.
And I would be driving that direction when I texted him, because if I got the yes, it was like, psh, I'm getting in there. Because it's hard to get in without busting deer, and late season they're going to be out,
especially 3 o'clock.
Yeah,
so high deer density.
High deer density.
Right.
Open.
Yeah, it's, open. I mean, there's a creek line, but it's basically a 18 acre field with a creek line that goes through it.
Mm-hmm. It's 21 acres.
21 acres.
Good
total,
on you,
man.
That's
yeah.
so cool.
Yeah.
So take a step back. Why do you think that this deer moved in? You know, like we've kind of briefly touched on it, but I think that that's
yeah.
You know.
So I think he moved in. Like you said, over by Brandon is his thermal cover, his bedroom got messed up, you know?
And shout out to Brandon, man.
Yeah. Shout out to Brandon.
What a nice guy.
Dude, storm messed up his thermal cover.
Yep.
We'll help you fix that, Brandon. We'll get you somebody out there to clean that up.
So I think he moved in for the thermal cover. I mean, it's the only, where I live, it's, you know, it's the only big timber. This guy and his brother own the only big timber around for like a 10 mile square. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's patches here and there, but I mean, this one, like there's 200 acres of timber. His brother owns 200 or 300 acres of timber across the highway.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no pressure there because they don't hunt. And during shotgun season, a couple of my buddies in the area shotgun hunt there. I don't. But they said, when you push a deer, it runs that way.
Yeah, they just know it's safe.
Yep, they know it's safe there. He said, even if you push the deer in the opposite direction, they're going to loop around.
they're going to get there. They're going to get there either way.
Well, they know, man. I mean, you know when people are messing around your house or not, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And
you live in a bad neighborhood, you know about it.
Yep, yeah, yep. Exactly.
You know, something's in your house, you know about it.
Yeah.
So just the lack of pressure and thermal cover, I think, is why he moved there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, why wouldn't? Why not?
Yeah, exactly.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Yep. So the first night, by the time he texted me back, it was like 3:35, and it's like a rainy, misty night. It was a great night on DeerCast, and I had a marginal wind, so I sat back quite a ways and more or less observed.
Mm.
And I sneak over, and there's kind of like a knob that comes down that hides part of the field, and I get on the creek line and sneak up, and like as I come around and peek around the knob, there's like 30 deer in the field, and they pick their heads up, stare at me, and all run back in, and I'm like, oh no.
That's where you sit down right there and just wait, because so I'll come back out.
I sat down. Just get to where you want to go now. Yep.
And that's really about where I was going to sit, because I wanted just to be able to see back in that back corner that is hidden. So I sit down and just wait, and they start coming back out, and there is another buck, and the old man 10 is what I called him. He's like a low 50s 10 pointer. He's the one that I think he's like 8.5. Just a mule of a deer, super wide, not a giant, but a nice deer, you know, really right. mature. And he walks out like 10 minutes before shooting light. And I had told him, I will only shoot this deer. And he stepped out and I was like,
yeah, that's where you're grabbing the collar.
Talk about moral dilemma part two.
Right.
Hey bud, remember I told you about that buck?
Remember that first proposition? I got another one for you.
But he stepped out and I just let him go. And I saw quite a few deer that night. More than normal.
One of his kids could have shot that deer and would have been more than thrilled.
Absolutely. And that's what I told him. I said, I've got my cameras out. If that deer comes out, I will tell you, because, you know, it's not a deer knowing what's in the area that I'm probably going to shoot unless it gets later in the season, you know, to mm-hmm. manage the herd. Anyways, so he comes out, bunch of deer, and I could sneak out pretty easily. And that's how that hunt went. And then the next 5 nights, so I killed him on the 6th night of hunting, and every night he said, I'm not going. And like 2 nights before I killed Junkbrow, he said, listen, it's up until January 1st, I won't be able to go because I'm doing my year-end stuff. So he said, pretty much just go ahead and go, but I would still text him every day after three just because to keep the relationship.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, yeah. Just checking, bud. Yeah, type of stuff. Good on you, man. That's cool.
So the way the property sets up, it's the 18 acres and the big portion of the field is like 15 acres and then the creek splits it and there's like a 3 acre sliver. It's only 20 yards wide, but it's the whole property long. And I had pictures of junk brow like almost every night on that north side, which is the skinny side.
Is that on the other side of the creek then?
Yep. It's okay. On the property, but it's on the north side of the creek. Right. And I never hunted there because
can't
I
get
figured,
to it.
You know, my range, you know, with a muzzleloader, I've got a lot more range to shoot in the big side versus I'm limiting myself to a 20 yard path. And on, New Year's Eve, we had made plans with Josh and Drake Lamb to, you know, hang out and that kind of stuff. Hang out.
Have a good time. Yeah.
Have a good time. You know,
drink some sparkling waters.
Yep. Yes, sir. Yep.
Yeah.
Pop the, sparkling grape juice at midnight.
Right. Yeah. The Welch's.
Yep.
Yeah. Of course. Been there. I've done that. It's good. A little sweet, but it's good.
You know, we had made plans cause he was going to hunt. I was going to hunt and Drake was going to hunt that night. And, made plans to go hunting and then we'll do that stuff afterwards. And deer cast was great. So that's mainly why we all were like, we're hunting tonight. And there was a big snowstorm coming in. A little bit of snow on the ground already. And it was like, man, these conditions are so good. And deer cast said, great. So
you gotta go.
Yeah. And it was like,
you're going,
you know, he told me that pretty much January 1st, he was going to start hunting, you know? So I was like, I got to swing for the fences. All my pictures have been on the north side of the creek. I got to swing for the fences. It was a northeast wind, which is pretty good. Kind of quartering at the deer side-ish towards their back half. So not really ideal or conducive for big buck movement. You know, you wouldn't think they'd come with the wind at their quartering hind. But I'm like, I got to swing for the fences. The conditions are too good. So I worked down the edge to like 180 yards from where the camera is that I have pictures of him. And I have pictures of him pretty well every night. And I have a camera like 300 yards west of where he normally comes out and it's on a creek crossing.
Mm.
And the nights, the mornings I would have him coming back to bed, he would come out that night.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like every second day or something like that. Every other day, basically. And that morning I had a picture of him going back to bed and I was just like, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I sneak in there and I've got my muzzleloader on like a bog pod, but not like a shooting rest, that holds the gun. And, I just sit on the ground tucking some grass under a down tree and I'm probably 180 yards from where they walk out, 185, something like that. And the deer start piling out, on that small side. And, so some does come out and they all work my way and I'm like, oh, this is not good.
Yeah.
It's where I'm sitting, it's the pinch of it. So it's only 15 yards wide.
So they're going to walk right in front of you.
Yeah, they're going to walk right next to me. And I'm just like, this is not going to be good. You know, I'm going to get busted. So about the last 45 minutes is when the deer really started to pour out, just like a typical muzzleloader hunt, you know. And I'm sitting there and I get my gun to the shoulder, my scope, I set it about where I think he's going to walk out.
Just so you didn't have to move.
Just so
shoot.
I didn't have to move, you know. And just sat with my face pretty much on the gun the whole time. Cause I was like, if I move, I'm busted.
Yeah.
You know? Cause I had does at 15 yards.
Right. Jeez. Yeah.
And it's like cool. Sitting on the ground.
It's cool, but like move along, ladies.
Yeah. Like keep going. And at one point
you move along.
They moved past me, got downwind, busted.
Ooh.
And only ran like to 100 yards and stopped. Cause they're, like I said, they're not really pressured, especially hunting pressure. There's not a lot of pressure there. But so they knew something was wrong.
They weren't spooked too bad.
Yeah, they just were like, I don't really know what that was.
I'm going over here.
Yeah, I'm going to go stand over here. So I'm sitting there, and they start to work back again, and it's getting a lot closer to dark. And now we're like 10 minutes till the end of shooting light. And I'm like, come on, dude. Like the conditions are too good. And every night that I would have pictures of him, it would be like anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes after shooting light.
So you know it's like, I'm in the window right now. It's game time.
And my thought was, is if he comes out, it's going to be the last 2 to 3 minutes of shooting light.
Right.
And it's going to be
that last half hour or two, it gets dark so fast.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's going to be a get your face on the gun and get to him, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there and actually, I don't know if this is the wisest thing, but I took my safety off because I didn't want there to be a doe there and have to click the safety
yeah.
and have her be 5 feet from me or you know, which obviously probably would not happen because they'd bust way before that.
Hey,
but
you're ready, dude. You're tentative.
I was on pins and needles because, like I said, the conditions were just too good for him not to come out.
Yeah. And technically, it's the last night that you can hunt if he's going to hunt after the first. So you're
it was like, it's game time.
Right. Yeah.
So I've got my face down and all that stuff. And I'm like, man, it's getting kind of dark. And the does were far enough away. I reached down in my pocket. Shooting light was 521. And I look down at my phone and it's 519. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know. And I stick my phone back in my pocket and I look up and he's standing at the edge of the field. And I'm like, So.
And how far is that again?
He was about 180 yards.
Okay.
Yep. So from the second I saw him till the second the trigger pulled was about 15 seconds. Because I don't want to have to shoot after. I'm not going to shoot after shooting light. You know?
No, right. Yeah. It just causes problems, especially on a deer like that.
Exactly. So I get down, I get my face on it, and he was about, from where I had set my gun to where I thought he was going to walk out, he was about 3 or 4 yards north of there.
So you're just on it.
Like, so it was like, you know, because every picture he came out the same place.
Yeah.
And actually he came out from where my camera cannot catch him. So I thought maybe every night I had pictures of him, but he was just coming out on a different trail.
Right. What trail? Right. It only tells the story of what's on that tree.
Exactly. Yep. So he's quartering to me decently hard. So I put it right on the front side of his shoulder and pull the trigger, and the deer scattered that were closer. And they scattered towards him, but did not clear the field. And I'm like, and I, you know, that being that dark, it was like, I don't know if
what
I hit
happened.
Him or not.
Yet.
I don't know if I hit him. So
I mean, not only being dark, but you got a puff of smoke. It's 180 yards away. You don't know what the hell happened at that point.
And it's 10 yards, and he's probably back in the woods.
Yeah, he ended up being about 25 yards off the field where he came out of.
When he died.
No, by the time I got the gun on him and pulled the trigger.
Okay.
So I literally picked my gun up, left my butt pad that I was sitting on, picked the gun up and turned and left. I didn't, because the does were still out there. And I'm like, if he's alive and I didn't hit him.
The other deer might keep him calm.
Right, if I gut shot him or, you know, something, I just didn't know. I don't want him to push all those. I don't want to push all those deer and have him take him back into the neighbors.
Yeah.
Because I had a run in with those neighbors with my bow buck, which. Again, we'll talk about
we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So episodes be week or two apart. Maybe, I mean, they could launch the same week, but just look at the feed. You'll figure it out.
Just look for my name.
We're in the podcast cloud currently.
Yep. So I just picked my stuff up and I went back to the truck, you know, drove home, and I got home, and Jackie's my wife's name. She looked at me and she goes, "What is wrong?"
Shout out to Jackie.
Seriously.
You can't kill big deer if your wife sucks.
Hey, I've been saying it.
Yep. Absolutely.
How's your wife doing, Josh?
Never going to have one.
Cool. All right. We'll come back to that. Turn it into the WCB episode.
But she goes, "What's wrong?" And I said, "I shot at him." And she goes, "What do you mean at?" Yeah. Because she, you know.
Keyword here.
Yeah. She's like.
She's educated enough.
She's like all of our wives.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, they got to like it a little bit. Otherwise, they wouldn't be with us because we're nuts about it.
Can't kill big bucks if your wife sucks.
Yep.
And they know when something's wrong, too.
Yeah. Hey, and
greatest quote of all time of me. And I
might as well get a tattoo of that.
I'm going to, actually.
Yeah, you probably should.
If I get divorced, you know why I got
it. No, we need bumper stickers of that.
Shh, we'll get them made.
But she goes, "You are white as a ghost." And I just was, the whole drive home, I called Josh on my way
home.
Did
you call Brandon?
I did. Yeah.
He was okay. Actually, okay. So you got to call Brandon. Yeah,
Shout out to Brandon.
Yeah.
My first call was my dad, you know, because he's who started me in hunting. Second call was my wife. Third call was Josh. Fourth call was Brandon.
Very fair lineup.
Yep. And so I get home and she's like, "What do you mean you shot at him?" And I said, "Don't know if I hit him." She goes, "All this whole season and you don't know if you hit him?" I'm like, "No idea."
Hopefully.
There was smoke and there was too many deer. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know if I hit him. So I grab a flashlight and all that jazz and I give it about 45 minutes and I'm like, "I'll go look for blood. You know, if I hit him good, he's dead, you know."
Yeah.
If not, I'll know. I'll be able to see some guts, and the snowstorm was coming in. So I was like, "I gotta go."
Yeah, you gotta look.
I gotta look. Go back at the shot. It looked like you took a solo cup full of blood and threw it. And I'm like, "Oh, I hit him. Thank goodness I hit him."
Yeah.
And after that, I can't find a speck of blood. And I'm like,
muzzleloaders are like that sometimes.
Yeah. And actually, I was shooting a smokeless, which I know sometimes you guys frown on, but.
Well, I don't frown on that.
No, not at all.
Have we ever frowned on that?
Well, I thought I heard it on your other podcast that some people don't like the whole smokeless world. But the reason.
No.
So I actually borrowed it from a buddy. And the reason I shot a smokeless is because with the interaction I had with the neighbors, I didn't want them getting to the neighbors.
That's very fair. Yeah.
And it's, to me, you know, you can shoot 500 yards with a smokeless muzzleloader if you want, but to me, that's not why I used it. I used it for the kill power behind it.
Yeah.
So normally they bleed pretty decently normally, but I can't see a speck of blood anywhere after that initial hit. And I'm like, oh no, why? I mean, why? There was good blood right at the shot. And I followed a lot of the tracks back to where he came out, cause that's where I kind of figured he would run in. That's mm-hmm. where my bow buck ran in, no blood. And I'm like, man, I don't get this. So I go back to the initial spot and I'm looking, and like, so straight east would be where I thought he was going to run, mm-hmm. and he ended up going south and west, just to the creek line.
Yeah.
And I look southwest and I can see one little thing that looks like a speck of blood, and I get over there and it's like hands and knees. I mean, in snow. Still hard to see the blood.
Ugh.
And it looked, so what it looked like is like you took a paintbrush and you dipped it in blood and you just like flicked the paintbrush.
Mm-hmm.
The specks were super, super small.
Small mist.
Yeah. Basically it was like a mist almost.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he ended up going like, oh, I don't know, 35 or 40 yards, and he was dead. And it was like he was in some thick grass, and I came around the corner and I saw his feet, and then I turned the corner and so with the pictures, there were some pictures that he looked like a 220, and there were some pictures that he looked like a 170. So yeah. I thought he was going to be like in the 90 range.
When they get big like that, dude, they're hard to judge.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
You can't tell.
Yeah.
180 or 200.
Yeah.
Like 20 inches, but 180 is massive.
Correct.
Right.
Yep. So I didn't truly know what he was. And when I found him, first call was Jackie to let him know that I let her know that I found him. And second call was my dad. Third call was Brandon. Fourth call was Josh. So I flipped it up a little bit once I found him.
Right. Shout out to Brandon.
Yeah.
Shout out to Brandon.
Yeah.
Josh was last though.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, well,
I didn't deserve to be on the list anyway. I was kind of a jerk about this deer.
You were mean about it.
He was the hater the whole time.
Yeah. You aren't going to see him.
Yeah. You won't shoot that thing.
Hey, but you were kind of right though. He's going to be there late season.
Yep.
I just want to see him kill a booner with his bow.
Yeah. Hey. That's why he pushed.
Check.
Once I got done with my phone calls, this is one of those moments, one of the only moments in the deer woods, I cried like a baby. I'm not going to lie.
Take it all in.
I finished those phone calls. I shut it off. I didn't take any pictures because I had a couple people that I had told on the way home that were like, send me pictures when you find him.
Yeah.
I sat there for 15 minutes.
And the people you tell are texting you, hey, did you find him yet? Did you find any blood? Picture, all this?
And I sat there right next to him for 15 minutes and cried.
I would have too, man.
Absolutely. You know, it's
beautiful.
It's a once in a lifetime deer, you know.
Oh, for that's sure. A moment that you almost have to slow down. It sounds like you were conscious enough in the moment to slow yourself down and take that in, because I feel like a lot of times you're just like, all right, let's get this thing out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And you did the right thing. It's cool to hear.
Yep.
Because I think I would have done the same thing. I probably would have went and got a couple beers and sat down next to him and like paid my respects and
had a moment.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, you had your moment, you know, but I for sure would have had a moment. Like, you have to with a deer like that.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It's different if you don't know about it and you kill it, you still have your moment, but the moment's not as heavy. I mean, maybe it is, but you knowing about this deer and like thinking about it and
having the history with him,
having the history and the unique situations and moral dilemmas and you're just calculated, man. It's cool to see it. I'm glad. I like seeing deer like this fall to people like you that really appreciate them, because there's no bigger bummer than seeing a dude who doesn't give a shit about the deer or the quality of the deer or the specimen. Like, think about what needs to be thrown into a white-tailed deer to create that.
Oh,
right.
You know,
a lot of like impossible variables.
Mm-hmm. It's once in, I said once in a lifetime, but it's a deer like this is once in many lifetimes.
It is.
You know, I will, and I've said, you know, I hunt a really good area over there. There's a genetic pocket there, I think, and it just produces big deer.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, not a good chance, but there's a chance I kill a higher scoring deer at some point in my life. I have
possible
for a young year. A lot of years yet. You know, I'm 27, be 28 in September. I mean, I've got
what day in September?
23rd.
I'm the sixth.
I have, you know, hopefully 45 years of hunting left, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
but I don't think I will ever kill a prettier deer that has it all.
The deer's very appealing to the eye. There's a lot of deer that make 200 that aren't as like attractive, but this deer's, he carries He's big. He's massive. He has tines. He's got the crazy brows. I mean,
mm-hmm. he's got everything.
Can you break down, well, before you break him down physically, what he is, like, okay, so you have your moment out there, then you get him out. Like, what are people's reactions seeing this deer in person for the first time?
So when I went and got him out, I asked my, it would be my wife's uncle and one of our neighbors have two younger boys that, you know, my neighbor hunts a little bit, but not a lot. And, you know, I'm one of those that hunters are a dying breed, you know?
Yeah.
Get him out there when you can.
Get him out there when you can. They don't have a lot of experience with it. Mm-hmm. So I asked him if they wanted to come with to get it. You know, I already knew it was there. So we got, you know, one's 6 and one is 8. And
very cool.
They got to come with and, you know, watch me gut it. First time watching that. And, you know, got to take pictures with it. And those are probably some of my favorite pictures of the deer is those two, especially because he looks like an elk.
Right, you know? Right.
Smaller the body. Let's get some small bodies in here. You guys got any kids?
But seeing those two boys grinning with behind that deer when they've never really been around it and thinking it's the coolest thing in the world, that was probably one of the cooler parts of it.
Oh, yeah.
Well. Yeah, for sure. But,
so I called my dad. You know, my dad's, he lives like an hour and a half from where I do. And my dad's been there for every deer I've ever killed, basically. Well, not basically. He's been there for every deer I've ever killed. And he said, I'm out at dinner right now, but I'm on my way and there's a ice and snowstorm coming. And I'm like, just come tomorrow. He said, mm-mm. He said, this isn't one I just come tomorrow.
Yeah. And I'm on my way.
He contemplated leaving his dinner to come help me find it. And I was like, I got plans.
Get the doggy bag, Dad. Let's go. Wrap it up.
Take that shit to go.
So I've got two sisters. One of my sisters lives a little bit farther away, but the one lives right close to my dad and they hopped in the truck and came up. And
very cool.
My dad was like, my dad's killed some big deer. He's got a couple in the 180s and, you know, he's been hunting since the early 90s.
Yeah, he knows.
He knows. Yeah. He was like, woof.
No shit.
Yeah. He was like, that is a big, big deer. And we taped it that night. He was stiff and all that kind of stuff. And I taped him with like a seamstress tape.
Yeah.
A little bit thicker.
Yeah. Just a soft,
kind of hard to get good measurements, but hey, not
good enough for a green score.
Yeah. And I actually green scored him at like 209 7/8. And you know, I scored, my dad wrote, and my dad totaled it up, and we were sitting in the kitchen, and he goes, like, his eyes got really big, and I'm like, what? He goes, I gotta re-add those. You know, I thought he was, even after I killed him, you know, I told him it was like he's like a 190. That's what I told him.
Yeah.
Because really the only thing that I would change about the deer is he's got pretty short beams for a 200 incher, really.
Really?
They're like 24.
Which, let me see, not, this guy, hand me this baby.
It's not short,
but that's where they start to get big,
right? But when you talk 200 inchers, you know, you're talking 26 27 inch beams.
Yeah,
you know,
well, you know, this buck is heavy.
The mass he carries through there is insane,
dude. Yeah, heavy. His brows are crazy. His twos are good. His threes are good.
It's Iowa.
I think his smallest mass measurement is still over 5 inches.
Wow. I can believe that. He's heavy. This is one of the heavier racks I think I've ever held. That's impressive. There you go, Eric. Get your hands on that, buddy.
But then the next day.
He is heavy, ain't he?
I've got an official scoring kit.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
How'd you get that?
I bought one.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, you can just buy them.
Yeah, from the Shed Antler Club.
Yeah.
Because I like, you know, I'm a shed nut. I find a lot of sheds every year, and I tape it. I tape deer for buddies and that kind of stuff, and
yeah,
I usually get pretty close. So I scored him at like 206 the next day, 206 and 2/8 or something like that.
Gee, and whiz, man,
yeah, just a mega,
but a 209, 206, amazing. And then you took him to the Iowa Deer Classic.
Yep. So I didn't enter him in any of the competitions or anything, but I had Cameron Coble score him there, and he was gross 204 and an eighth, and net non-typical like 197 and 6/8 or something like that.
Okay. You know, I'm a measure, you know, nets, I do still think are
for fish,
are BS. They are for fish. So you tell them what the gross score is, but there's a lot of people that don't understand what it takes to get a deer to net in the 190s.
Yep. Right.
Like they just don't get it. Like most of the deer, when you see a guy, it's like, I killed a 160, I killed a 170. They're netting like much less than that.
Mm-hmm. One of my friend's daughters killed a, like 201 quite a few years ago, and it netted like in the 60s.
Yeah.
You know, because there was just that much difference.
It's bullshit.
Yeah. You got to give the deer the credit.
You got to give them the credit for what's there.
Yep.
I always thought there'd be a cool way, and if anybody wants to invest, call me. Investors, possibly you. And to make a measuring system that goes off volume.
Water displacement?
Mm-hmm. But so, what I think gets tricky about it is the bases and the skull plate and the variables and that. Like, there's a way around it. I just don't know what it is.
So this might be a rabbit trail of a conversation, but I've thought about this a lot, too.
Do we need to have this business conversation off the podcast?
I don't know if I do it right here.
Potentially. But I think you have to have a certain area that the skull plate has to be. Has to be so many inches deep, you know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes, I agree.
Like,
yeah.
Basically a box that it has to fit in, the skull plate. And then you just give them that credit. And the problem is it's just tough. It'd be tough to do that. The only true way to do it would be to lop the antlers off, Lane. Nobody's doing that.
No. I guess the difference is it's like you got a thick brain skull dude that's got this much thickness in a skull plate versus the dude who's...
Yep. It's tough. The only way to do that would, like I say, would be to cut the antlers off.
I know what you're saying, though. Like a box. If it fits in that box, there's your score for that.
It qualifies for your score.
Yeah.
Yep.
Not a bad idea.
But, you know, like I say, it's... There's so many variables in that it's not really possible. I don't think
it's fun to think about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Someday.
Cause I'm a nutritionist by day job working for Kent Feeds. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of factors nutrition wise that go into growing a deer like this, mm-hmm. and genetics wise. And it's,
you know, everything wise
to grow, you know, to grow a rack, let alone a rack like this.
Yeah.
So I'm a gross guy. Cause give them the credit they deserve.
Agreed. Right? I agree.
They grew it.
Yep.
Dude, it's a great story. I think you're built for podcasting. Like, you're just great at telling a story, man. And I really enjoyed hearing the story of this buck. You hear a lot. I mean, Eric, how many buck stories have we heard from January? Well, no, just from trade show season. Oh, not that bunch. We complain about the stories, but we've heard a lot of them. So we were like, for a bit, your brain almost need your buck storied out for a bit. But this one did not fall into that pocket of another buck story.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, congratulations.
I like to talk.
No, you're great, man. And, congratulations on this buck. I appreciate your dedication and your passion and respect for such a unique animal.
Yeah, no, I'd definitely say Lee is the textbook example of manifesting by being a good person, mm-hmm. you know, like that, the buck you over here. I mean, it was a season of a lifetime, but, you know, we talked about it. You're like, it's never going to happen again. And I was like, if it's going to happen to somebody else again, it'll be this
guy. Yeah. Yeah.
I live and I breathe it, you know, just like a lot of the big deer killers do.
You have to.
Yeah.
It consumes your life.
Consumes my life. And, you know, it's turkey season right now. I think deer during turkey season, you know, that's what I do.
Not Mark Drury.
Yeah. That's right. Eric knows what I'm talking about. But yeah. Do you want to, I mean, do we have time to break him down a little bit more?
Talk about him. Yeah.
In class?
Yeah.
So,
I'll charge you by the minute now. We're on a
sounds good.
Yeah, dial 1-800 collect.
We got his credit card information, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So my favorite part about the deer's is brows. Those big bladed brows. The brows are both around 10 inches. He's got, I could pull the score sheet up on my phone, but he's got like
pull it up
16 inches of abnormals, I think, roughly.
Yeah, and they had to have 15 now to qualify as a Don typical.
Yep, I think it's like 16 or 17. I turned my phone off because I didn't know if it would.
Which you want them to make that if they're going to be near 15. It's like, just push over 15, please.
Yep. The one G2 is 12 and a half. The other one's like 11. Both G3s are roughly 10-ish. G4s are like 6 and 5. And mass measurements, like I said, all the mass measurements are...
insane.
I think the smallest one might be like 4 and 7-8ths, if I remember right. Shorter beams, you know, 24 is still a long beam, but
it's still long. Yeah. I mean,
but when you're talking, I mean, my dad's got a 180 inch typical 10 and his beams are like 28 and a half.
Yeah. Know? That's insane.
You put a 28 inch beam on this deer and you're like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. It changes a lot. And there's a lot in beams that you can't tell. Like, you know, we talked about this a little bit on a side conversation with the Buckstorm boys. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, guys are judging a 320 bull to a 330 bull. Like that could be all beam and you can't really tell that sometimes.
Yeah.
You
right.
know?
Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, I kind of thought based on the pictures that he had shorter beams, but, you know, 20, like I said, 24 is still a screamer beam, you know?
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah.
So.
Them brows, though, man.
A lot of bucks.
That's my thing, are brows.
Yeah, that's my favorite part about the deer.
A lot of bucks just have 20-inch beams.
Yeah.
I mean, really, like an average.
That's like the standard.
Yeah, I mean, the average buck wants to be 135. A big buck with nothing special is 135 with 20 inch beams.
Right.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But then you add age, freak genetics, Lee, good people.
I mean, Brandon. Don't forget about Brandon.
Shout out to Brandon.
Yep.
Been saying it. You get this. So
I don't have good enough service. I can't
pull. Give me the score sheet later. I'll slap it on this.
Yeah, absolutely. But so, yeah, once in a lifetime deer.
Congratulations, man.
Thanks.
Ant and Iowa buck. You're outnumbered in here today.
You are. 3-1, Kurt.
Hey, you know what? If this was the Rayo WCB series, I'd say some harsh stuff to you guys. But it's good to have all you Iowa boys in here. All you highfalutin Iowa boys in your good state politics.
I'll just wait.
Give it 30 minutes. We'll just be on the regular one. Yeah.
And Doug will be here then, so you're definitely going to be outnumbered.
Oh, you think your governor's better? Oh, he is.
She.
Shout out to Kim Reynolds.
You think you guys got great politics compared to us? Like you guys are less... Well, you are. You think you're good with your... Yeah, we have Chicago.
DNR.
Your DNR is better. Actually, I've had good run-ins with the DNR in Illinois. If you can find them, that's a good note. Don't have a big budget here in Illinois, maybe because all them corrupt politics. We're doing the best we can, okay? All we got's deer hunting. Give me that.
I will say, I've got a buddy who lives not too far from here, an hour southwest. He lives in Dallas City. And I've been to his place. I actually, when we were in college, I went and sat in the stand with him during shotgun season.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, there's not much going on. I was tagged out in Iowa, and there's not much to go on.
Something
so
to do.
I came and just sat with him. And there's big deer in Illinois.
I'll tell you this.
I will give you that. There is big deer over here.
I've been saying this, and you've agreed in the past. You might not agree on this one. Just
I know exactly what you're going to say.
I got to bring it up. You got to defend myself here before we close this out. If Illinois adopted the same structure that Iowa has, no one would even care about Iowa.
That's a fact.
But you know what? Just keep caring about Iowa.
I think that they would be equals.
Dude, Illinois's got Iowa beat on all the records and all the numbers and all that anyway.
Did you enter this in the record book?
I'm actually going to.
Oh, wow.
Just to say that I have a Booner in the record book.
That's fair. But... given, like, if we did points, one buck state, non-residents couldn't kill a buck over the counter every year, Illinois would stomp Iowa out. Now, they'd both be great.
I think it would help a lot if you just did a one buck state, too.
I like killing two bucks.
Right.
But I agree. It would. Do it. Run it in cycles. Do a five-year deal, and then other 5 years you can kill two. Then 5 years you kill one, because you get your big bucks up.
Mm-hmm.
But
age
Illinois,
structure is everything.
Hey, you can dream.
Illinois is broke. We need them dollars. Yep. Lee, anything to close out with?
No, not really. Just thanks for having me over here, guys. And yeah. Go get your DeerCast subscription, guys.
You're a true believer.
Yeah, I am.
For the record, you are not paid by DeerCast.
I am not paid by DeerCast.
Okay.
No.
I check it every day.
It's 20 bucks.
Yeah, it's 20 bucks. I check it every single day.
Yeah, think about out there, if you don't subscribe premium, how much dumb stuff have you done for 20 bucks? Okay, now save 20 bucks. Seriously. And buy a DeerCast.
Divide that by 12 per month.
It's not that much money.
Like $1 and something a month.
Yeah, $1 and change.
I can't do that math.
Buy one less beer, half a beer at the bar.
Half a beer at the bar every month and you got it.
Don't eat lunch for 2.5 days. You just paid for your subscription.
Absolutely.
All right?
I think, like I said, I think it's, you know, a lot of people... it hurts their pride to look to an app, but
it's worth its weight in gold.
It's worth its weight in gold,
sure.
Man.
It's $20, man.
It's $20.
Anything to help you make a better decision.
You know how many times I get hit up about DeerCast Track, like you said earlier?
Yeah, all the time. That alone is worth it.
It's dumb. But anyway, just get DeerCast.
Yeah, get DeerCast.
More of the story, and, just sign up for
quit
it.
Quit hitting us up for DeerCast Track.
Right.
Spend the 20 bucks, you cheap SOB. All right, Josh, you got anything to add?
Congratulations again, man.
Thanks, brother.
Thanks for co-hosting.
I didn't say much, but...
hey,
you're here.
Your looks made up for it.
that mustache.
Glad you made it for one.
Yeah, I'm here.
That's it. Go shoot a giant, guys. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Nobody can see me on this camera. You know what to do. Go shoot a giant. See you on the next one.